This is the Taranaki Museum Oral History Program, an interview with Mr. Goodwin, and we're who's visiting here from New Plymouth at the moment. Today is the 30th of July, 1997. We're recording on a Sony WM-D6C cassette recorder using Sony ECM-144 microphones. The interviewer is Mary Donald, and this is tape one. Mr. Goodwin, it's really nice for you to agree to be interviewed while you're here visiting us, and I believe really what we're actually looking towards is your involvement in parks and reserves in Taranaki. But before we get deeply into that, could you tell me where you were born and a little bit about your childhood?
So I was born in Waimate, South Canterbury, in 1912, 30th of February, and I grew up in the down country out to the gorge from Waimate, but educated in Waimate. It's almost impossible to say just when, but my memories go back to 1916 when I was about 4 years old and I struck up a finger off with a broken bottle. Some of the other things that one recalls have been repeats from other people, but I was growing. As a four-year-old, I was growing hyacinths, just a few hyacinth bulbs in the garden. And before the end of the war, a soldier overseas with whom my mother had sent clothing and cake and so forth to during the war, First World War, he sent back a bulb from England by post. It was completely shriveled and totally useless in itself, but it happened to be one of the bulbs that produces little offsets at the base of the scales, Lilium testaceum. And that was my first experience with lilies, following on from the hyacinths. And then, as a five-year-old, I grew sweet peas. My father helped me to get the ground ready, and I grew sweet peas. And later, in my school days, I always had a fence just covered with sweet peas in the spring and early summer. The tour buses used to stop just to see the sweet peas on where we lived.
Were your parents good gardeners too? Were they keen gardeners?
My father was about as keen as one could be as an amateur, and he grew fruits, apples and pears and peaches, the larger fruits. He grew cherries, small fruits. He always had plenty of fresh vegetables for the house, and then he had a good lawn, and he always had a display, a seasonal display of flowers, whether it was a spring flower and then followed by summer flower bedding, or whether it was perennial plants. But he always had a garden. He was always never happier than when he was in a garden. But perhaps, I don't know whether this is relevant, but he came from Auckland, and his father was inspector of schools, the first inspector of schools for Auckland. But my father developed asthma, and instead of going for a banking career as it was anticipated that he would, he had to take to the country, and he grew plants, he grew melons and things like that north of Auckland. But the asthma was pretty severe at times, and so he moved southwards and he worked with cows and Waikato, and even passed through Pukekura Park on the way to the Christchurch exhibition of 1906. And
where was that?
Pardon?
Where was the exhibition?
Christchurch.
Christchurch, the Christchurch.
In 1906. And he found that in Christchurch he was free of his asthma. And throughout his life, any time he came north of a line drawn across Christchurch, the northern part of Christchurch, there are people more subject than apparently to than the south. And down in South Canterbury, I was quite unaware until I was in my secondary school age that he ever suffered from asthma. But a visit to Auckland, and after a week, 10 days in Auckland, he'd be completely convulsed with asthma.
Just for the record, because you've been talking about your father and his gardening, what was his name?
Percy.
Percy.
Percy Goodwin. No, he only had the one Christian name.
Mm.
He was born in Tauranga in 1879, when grandfather, just when the Education Act became effective, and from teaching at a private school at Thames, the gold mining town, he became involved with the new school system and was headmaster of Tauranga Central School, and became the first person in New Zealand to be prosecuted for administering capital punishment.
Oh.
And the magistrate told the boy's father that he was doing what his father should have done, and dismissed the case. It's recorded in the Auckland papers.
So you were nurtured right from the start in the gardening environment.
Oh yes. There was a big gap between my grandfather and my father, because grandfather died before I was born. And so we didn't see very much of the family, even because we lived in the South Island. And in those days it was pretty slow travel. Travel from Littleton overnight and
by ship.
But the first thing my father who worked for the Canterbury Farmers Co-op was serving the farming community as delivery man with a horse and a pole wagon in the early days, and later was a chain wheel drive truck, and then finally was a normal truck in the 20s, and or the earlier of the normal truck, the pneumatic tired trucks in the 20s, and then he became the postmaster for the district as a little office in the store, and then later he carried with that job, but he also carried the management of the country store, quite a busy place in those days, and particularly during the First World War in the 20s, as I can remember. We had a railhead. There's no sign of that today. I was out there recently, and there's a remnant of the old rear engine sheds, all that's left of the branch line that doesn't even go to Waimate now. It's the main trunk line goes through Stubborn Junction.
So did you spend all of your childhood at Waimate?
Yes, actually out in the Wire Downs, which was the country district, the rolling down country. A different atmosphere really to the flatlands stretching out from the Hunter Hills. So I was tucked in behind the Hunter Hills, and the winding roads and the rolling country were fascinating. And the farming community are always pleased to see somebody, and I travelled around with the mailman or the the grocery delivery man. The mailman was three times a week. I think the grocery man was once a week to each of the districts. And then I'd be given different jobs to make pocket money. And sometimes, well, the first one was burning cooch, cultivating the ground and raking up the cooch. It was harrows and horses and harrows. And then, as it dried out in long rolls, we'd set fire to it and burn it up.
A never-ending job, I should think.
Oh, well, I don't know. Most of them prefer to reduce the cooch as much as possible and then plant it up in good type of grasses for forage.
Mm.
And they just closed it off when it got too weedy. That's what the general practice has been, I think, with most farmers. And it all becomes uneconomic. But I studied wool classing, and I learned to shear when I was quite young.
Where did you study wool classing? Where did you study wool classing?
Waimate. It was organised in those days by the Farmers' Union, it was called. And there were two farmers' organisations, and they joined together, and we run the classes in the technical school, it was called, and we had to come in from the country on Saturday morning to attend the classes. But we also had the opportunity to get back out into the shearing sheds in the back country. Right back into the Mackenzie country, was laid in behind where the answers is the Mackenzie country.
And how long did it take to learn to class wool? And what sort of, was there a certificate you got, or for, did you have to pass an exam to say that you could class, or?
Yes, the instructor came from Timaru to Waimate, and he had wide experience both on the sheep stations and in the wool scour at Temuka. And we had the full term, more or less, I suppose it corresponded to school terms, I can't remember exactly now. But and then towards the end of the term, we would just actually be sort of isolated and have a separate test. We'd have a mix. I've got a very proud possessor of a 96% pass and a 100% pass.
Right.
Yes, he said he couldn't separate us. There was an old stockman and submaster and myself, but we were granted 100% 1 year, in our second year, or my second year. And but I always had a very keen eye for the detail. In fact, that detail in the classifying of wool was quite helpful in technical botany, in the classification of plants. And I knew my plants more by sight than by running through keys or anything like that. I catalogued them away in my mind and memorised them. And that again led on from the wool classing.
Mm.
Yeah.
Valuable skills.
Yes, I suppose so. I found that after a certain time, I think most people reach a capacity of which they're able to recall a large number. I suppose I might have stopped at about 4,000 or 5,000, I don't know. But recall the names, and then my favourite saying was that the ones that you're least familiar with go out the back door and the new ones come in the front door, and you retain that balance.